There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you all along. Another hour of live local talk. Remember, streaming online, FMTalk1065.com. In the second half of the hour, we'll find out what they said at this presser about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, now with a specific, at least the ideas as we hear it now. As the river bill started coming out yesterday into today, one bridge for trucks only. And it will be told the rest of us are going through the Wallace Tunnel, and there's no trucks going in the Wallace Tunnel. That's, if there needs to be amendment, we'll get that in the second half of the hour. Speaking of amendments, and speaking of somebody probably came through the tunnel coming here, it's great to say hello to a brand new friend here on the show, Christina Warner McInnes, joining us to talk about Soil Kit. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's was all right. Did you come through the tunnel?
I did.
Was it okay?
It was okay, but you just cringe when you see all the red lights going in the tunnel. You're just like, oh, I've got to be there for this interview. I can't be late.
Don't stop. Yes.
I
think we all do that. And amendments, yeah, it's something we talk about for soil. And I want to talk about this process. First of all, the company, the product, Soil Kit.
Yes.
Okay. And I'll get into that. But also the part that I think is super cool on top of that is this process of how this is now going to be in Lowe's stores.
Mm-hmm.
So take us back to, this is like Shark Tank, this is a business incubator. Kind of give us your story on how we went from an idea and then we're looking at this product right now today.
Okay, so let's step back into 2020. Shelter in place, COVID, even down here in the Gulf Coast, Hurricane Sally. I mean, it was an epic year.
Yeah.
During that time, Lowe's decided that they were going to give back. And they turned around and said, let's go help the businesses that were affected the most. They targeted small business, which I fit that criteria, and minority owned, which I'm female,
yep.
Majority owned female business. So, and thanks for doing this during Women History Month. So this is exciting to talk about a female ag tech business. So during that time, I literally got a call from Valerie Tyson of Strategic Playground, who's a good friend of mine. She said, she's in Texas, doesn't understand what's going on with Hurricane Sally. Three houses, three trees on my house.
Right.
I've got four kids displaced from school. We're just trying to figure out where we're going to food. Okay?
Right.
She's like, you've got to apply for this program. It's mentorship. Lowe's is going to give back to small businesses affected during COVID. And you need this. You need mentorship right now. No way.
Did you think this is the last thing I have time for?
Yeah, no way. And yeah. Damon John of Shark Tank, of all things, is going to be your mentor. No way is that kind of opportunity even feasible for this girl in Foley, Alabama. Well, needless to say, I went right up to the Foley office. We had just gotten power. We had just gotten internet. And I spent 4 hours applying for this program. And you could just see it begin to kind of get these little, Lowe's was sending emails like, oh, you've made it to the next level. You've made it.
How did that work, Christina? Do you send a package that says, here's my product?
So they used a platform called RangeMe. You put all of this stuff about, because nobody could do anything. Nobody could go to trade shows. Nobody could, so you put it all on this little RangeMe platform. I put a product in, description, all of the information about our business, and they would go in and read it and then choose between all of these over thousands of, people who applied for this.
Wow.
And so I guess being a fifth generation farmer from the Warner family, Warner Farms, and seeing how that this product literally grew from a need in the marketplace.
Drew, I get what you did there.
And rooted in science.
See,
you like that?
See, doubling up. I like this. I have a good job for you as a copywriter around here. So, yeah, you've done this your whole life, been around
yes.
the ag world. But this is Soil Kit is marketed towards homeowners.
Yes. So what happened is, my dad and our family are big ag. They produce it. They are farmers. But every time we'd go somewhere to a restaurant or in the store, it was, hey, Mr. Warner, I need to talk to you about a problem I'm having in my lawn or garden. And when I'm in the store, you know, tons of female buyers. I mean, your buyer out there in the national marketplace, not so much lawn and garden, it's 80% female.
Mm-hmm.
And so over and over again, I'm having a problem. But did you know that there are 129.9 million households in the U.S.? 3 out of 4 have a lawn or garden. They're spending over $500 annually. And guess how many are dissatisfied? Over 70%. Can you believe we are spending that much money on our lawn and garden to be dissatisfied?
That's almost like with Congress. It's a very, very similar to Congress. So people are so you knew anecdotally that that existed. Then you obviously have done the research to find out the stats you're talking about.
Yes. So, I mean, the farmers do it. That's what they build their whole farming operation on. And
correct.
So dad grows the field in the, you know, the grass in the field, and then he gives it to the homeowner, and the homeowner is not following the same practice.
Right.
They're
right.
not doing their annual soil sample, and the USDA recommends everyone does an annual soil sample. When was your last one?
At the house, never. Soil sample on ag, but I don't. And that's what you and I were talking about before we went on. Both talking, you know, agriculture world. And to me, it's a. Of course, you would do it on farming stuff.
Yeah.
And here I've never done it at the house. I've amended the soil with no reason.
Oh, it's like going to the doctor and saying, "Give me a prescription," without doing a blood sample.
Yeah.
I mean, and
yeah, it's, you're right.
It,
I mean.
And on top of it, look at environmentally what's going on. Largest dead zone in the Gulf Coast, Gulf of Mexico we've ever had.
Yep.
And so,
and that's explain that for folks who don't follow this, a dead zone from the fertilizer.
Yes, well, from runoff of what's coming down the Mississippi River with all mm-hmm. the different states that come in there. And so here we are doing our straws at restaurants and, you know, Gulf Shores and Orange Beach for the sea turtles. But yeah, we're just toxic. And you know what it is? It's just killing off their food source. I mean, just last week they were publishing about the manatees
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, what's happening. We need to be more environmental stewards to not say, I'm just going to blindly do 13, 13, 13, because that's what I've always done. I'm going to get the same bag, do the same thing, and expect a different outcome.
Right. And this is, it took a while, maybe still not for some people, that they would start adding in some lime and say, well, I'm going to add in some lime so I have some more uptake in my fertilizer. But it was never specific. When you look at, you know, agriculture, you have a prescription. It's, we're going to do, you know, this much. Here's our pH. Mm-hmm. Here's what our fertilizer amendment is. You're right. I mean, if they even did something like buying triple 13 and putting out, I mean, there are a lot of companies out there that just have the all-in-ones.
Right.
You pour a bag of this in the thing, and you go across the yard, clickety, 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 and put it out, and that's... And it's the same bag that goes to your house, it goes to my house,
yes.
it goes to Dan's house, goes to, you know,
but
Sally's house.
One house might have Centipede, one house
right.
might have to have St. Augustine. Two totally different nutritional needs.
But putting the same, you know.
And you're putting the same thing down.
So, okay, so you see this need in the market.
That nobody will address, because nobody wants to deal with a homeowner, because they're higher maintenance. You have
sure.
to explain even how to calculate your square feet. So even during the process of soil kit, I provide Google satellite imagery, because you need to know how many square feet you have. Why? Why put down one bag when you may need two? Why put down two bags when you need one?
Right. So, okay. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk more about this. So you've got all these needs,
yes.
and you're sitting there and... But it's a lot between saying, hey, we have needs, and here's a product that's going to solve those needs. So I want to talk about that process as well when we return. And your questions, yeah, we'll get those asked as well on the text line at 343-0106. Our guest, Christina Warner McInnes. Soil Kit is the company, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And interesting conversation on mic and during the news break with Christina Warner McInnes, the company called Soil Kit. The process of this, you get a call, there you are in Sally recovery mode, just mm-hmm. trying to put one foot in front of the other, and you got a friend going, you need to enter a contest.
Yeah, it was a mentorship program, and it was Making It with Lowe's. And during that moment, in survival mode, 4 kids, no school, I've just come out of shelter in place. I was like, not here, not now, please. But we did!
And
we made it with Lowe's!
So you had been, how long had Soil Kit, the idea, been developed before this?
So we had pretty much, we started it under the Warner Hood, thought it was only going to stay there in our garden centers.
By the way, people are big fans of, they said the best St. Augustine. I've got St. Augustine from Warner in my yard myself. So.
Yes, that's Warner Classic. Yep. So, yes. So, in another great story on that, my grandmother is one that's helped start all the stores. So, she kind of was, get the guys out of the farm, get to the store. So, yeah, she's also a strong woman who helped put me in front of the customer next to her and saying, listen to the customer, listen to their feedback. So, I give a lot of credit to this project, to a bunch of strong women on the farm who taught me how to listen to customers and not be so stubborn like the farmers are. but, yes, this has been under the hood at Warner now for at least 3 years. And then we had a bunch of customers saying, I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more. I want more than just a soil sample. I want it to map to a product. Not only that, I want you to be able to tell me how many bags of that product. And then, yeah. I mean, you want a shopping list when you go in.
Correct. I mean, I think that's the bridge you made for people. I think it's important because you can get a soil test and you can come back and here's your amendments, but how does that apply to my yard?
And where do I find it to buy it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So when somebody uses this, they give you the sample and then it comes back with a specific prescription for their yard?
Yes. So everything is included. So I've got a pack
right here.
So it's that brown bag, just like Big Papa used in Elbert, Alabama, just like he did on his farm. You've got that exact same bag. Now, what's interesting about this is the postage is paid for, the test is paid for, everything's done. All you have to do is register it. Now, note here the fun little fact about this test. So let's say my dad is growing a zoysia field out on the farm.
Okay.
And I have you use this on your zoysia at your house. When it makes it to the lab, it's the same ag lab. It's a nationally recognized ag lab. But dad's soil is going to get a different test than yours because you are a maintenance level. Dad is a farmer. He is a producer. He needs that zoysia to be cut and regrown in. It's a totally different. We want you to be nice and easy, maintenance level. You're not out there manicuring it every day.
Right.
So it's a totally different crop code when you get to the lab. And then when you're done, everything goes up into the cloud. We give you a great little shopping list, and you know exactly what to do.
Okay, so we send this off. It comes back, and we basically get the, like you said, the shop. It says, go. You want to amend with this for fertilizer or this for pH or this.
Yeah, so let's say you're using it at the Warner Landscape Store.
Okay.
So it's written to all the products that are on their shelves, and we even know what the bag weights are. So not only have I looked at the guaranteed analysis,
check that, because even though the weight of a bag is X, it doesn't always contain X amount of whatever you're buying.
Well, for instance, though, like I know that those bags of fertilizers are 25 pounds. And so I know that's for a homeowner where if they did the wildlife, I would have written it to the 50 pound because they probably need some bigger bags on, you know, the food plots. So the homeowner would just go in and say, okay, I need 2 bags of the Warner Sunshine Blend. I need 1 bag of lime and they've got it all. And then when they go say, here's how much to put out, all of that's in there. So it's a perfectly how much you put out.
And this is because you mentioned earlier, you're looking through Soil Kit. And I guess, is it an app or a website where they can find out the square footage of their lawn?
Everything's on the website, So during registration, you put in this unique code. Nobody can see us. They can hear us. It's on the back or the front of the bag. So you put in your unique code, which, of course, you can hit the little button and scan it.
Yeah, you got one of those, whatever you call it.
Oh, yeah. You can do it during the process on your phone. You can just doop on the camera, and it automatically puts it in for you. And then you can click Google Satellite, and it will populate your whole Google satellite imagery, and then you just drop the pins, and then that's the front yard, and then you want to add the backyard, add an area, and then it puts it out all perfectly for you so that when we get the results, you don't need to worry calculating how many pounds per acre. You know exactly how much to put out.
And that's when you go pick up with your shopping list, you apply that.
Yes.
Does it And I guess it's each year you send off a new soil? How does that work?
So I recommend, and the USDA recommends, an annual soil sample. However, I will say this. If we find an anomaly, especially if we're trying to pull your pH down, which is not too normal for here. It's usually the
usually
opposite.
We're trying to raise it around
here. I usually
try
to tell that kind of homeowner every 6 months. But it's once a year, take a look at it, and then we'll keep up with it in between if they need something.
I'll tell you what, a side project, if they want some acidic soil, I will truck some to them, and I'll trade them out for some base soil.
I tell you, after Hurricane Michael, we saw the Florida Panhandle over there. It took a massive hit on leaching. I mean, trust me, I have seen some 4.5s. I've seen some really low pHs coming through right now.
Wow, just from all the rain leaching
it out. Just the rain and leach in the sandy area. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this now talking about this Lowe's project here.
Yes.
So this is, can we see this at our store? Because somebody's asking, is this online or is this just in person?
So it is.
Or?
It's at Lowe's.com right now, and they will have it in the stores in July. And what I'm super appreciative of is they're going to do a real big fall push in the stores for us. And Damon John was super great. I'm going to tell you a funny story about Damon John. I really wanted him to tell me I needed a fancy celebrity. So I asked him, what was one of your success stories?
Right.
And he said, well, I put my clothes on a celebrity. And I was like, oh, I need a celebrity. Okay, Damon, who's my celebrity? I've even got like a really great little bunny rabbit we can make as a mascot. And he was like, oh no, you're going to be Soil Kit's mascot. They all going to want to talk to you. I was like, oh, could you not have said Martha Stewart or something?
Right. So, didn't give you that.
No, he told me I gotta put in the work myself.
The other part of this, you've put in the work here, and I like this too on several levels. Number one, you're helping out homeowners.
Yes.
Okay. Number two, this idea of the fertilizer runoff.
Yep.
You know, often we're talking about this with ag and getting into waterways or through tiles or, drainage. But if we're putting more than we need to on our yard,
yep,
that's washing out too. And there, even though the individual acreage is a lot smaller for houses, there's lots of houses and lots of yards.
And so what's happened is we're receiving more and more fertilizer regulation when in fact, fertilizer is a food. It's a nutrient for the plant. You need to know what to use and how much to use. And we take into account plant uptake also. So we know just how much that plant needs to uptake. So just do it the right. Don't misuse and abuse it because it will go off in the watersheds.
Right. And this is, if it says use this much, don't do the old, well, then twice as much.
Yes. No.
I think we've seen that on the glyphosate world and all that where people said, yeah, if it says this is the mix ratio on this,
let's
double it up. people saying, so available this in stores.
In stores in July.
In July.
Mm-hmm.
How much does a soil kit cost?
So the one without trowel, because the shipping, we have a fancy tracking system and everything. So
you've got all the packaging already ready to go.
So we've got the shipping paid for. We've got tracking to go with it. We've got all the technology behind the scenes. The test has been ordered. And by the way, it's a B3 test. So we do more things like we do organic matter. We do buffer pH. We do a bunch of different tests behind the scenes. So it's not just your basic test. So this one without a trowel is $29.95.
Okay.
With a trowel is $39.95. But most importantly, if you're a landscaper professional, you can get a whole pack of 12. And it's online at soilkit.com. I can't remember how much it is, but there's a pro pack or on Lowe's.com you can purchase. And it has 12 of these. And it's for a lot of people who may have a hunting camp or a landscape business.
Now, with somebody who's sampling from a yard, so I know like in ag fields or deer plots or whatever, you're going to get soil from over there, and then you can walk that zigzag thing we've always walked. And get it right. You've done it too. So walk the zigzag, get the samples. What about for this? Is it one scoop or is it several places in the yard? What do we do?
Okay, so don't worry. All of this is in the registration process and on the back.
It's got instructions?
There are some brief instructions.
I like that.
But we have a collection video because some people just like watch the video.
That'd be me. I'm raising my hand.
Yeah. We've all gotten kind of adjusted to YouTube on how we do things. Mm-hmm. So there's a video during the registration process, but here it is. For every 10,000 square foot or less, do 4 well-represented areas.
Okay,
remember this. I don't need to go 20 inches deep. Where do the roots of the grass reside? 2 to 4 inches. So get me the 2 to 4 inches, and I want to know what is in the soil at that point, because some of it leaches, and then phosphorus is really tricky, but it leaches down. So I need to know where the sod's roots are. 2 to 4 inches, 4 if it's garden, even 4 to 6 a little bit.
The garden, and before we run out of time, for the yard, but also if we have a part of the yard we garden in?
Yeah.
That's good. We can get those samples.
Yep. Well, do it separately because a garden has a different pH. So,
Can we tell, get the lawn one and then do one for where
kits.
I put my tomatoes?
You've got a twin pack online, too. There's a twin pack for that exact reason. Some people have a different front and backyard. Some people have a little garden in a yard. So get the twin pack so you got both of them.
Okay.
Yep.
Once again, so July in stores online.
Now.
Okay, so soilkit.com?
Yep. Well, soilkit.com and Lowe's.com and Amazon, there's a bunch of different places. But we did make it with Lowe's and we are online with them.
All right, very good. Thank you for coming in and talking about this. And best of luck going forward. I'm going to be watching this. I'm one of these great ideas and a local idea that has roots.
Yeah.
Mercy, I did that too.
Right here.
All right. Good. Christina, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're coming right back. And we'll put links up too on our Facebook page and the Instagram. And I'll try to get something up on Twitter as well. You can check those out or you can just go directly, as my kin folks say, to the website. All right. 129, heading to the news, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone number 343-0106. Same for a text line. It's a phone and text hybrid there. You can check it out. All right, and I know we got phone calls waiting and texts. We'll get to them in just a second. But let's go to what happened here over the last few minutes. So we talked about that press conference that was going down about the new I-10 Mobile River Bridge project and that announcement from the Five River Center there on the causeway. And I guess it was opened up. You had Chairman Jack Burrell there. You had Mayor Stimson there. And then we'll get the explanation from Vince Calmette, who is... Is that next clip? All right, so we'll run. Here's Vince Calmette explaining what the fuss is about. Let's go to that.
I am Vince Calmette. I will be helping to coordinate efforts between the state and the MPOs on this project. I am retired, but in my previous position... The last 10 years, I served as division engineer for the Southwest Division of the Alabama Department of Transportation, an area which includes Mobile, Baldwin, Conecuh, and Escambia counties. I will also be joined in this effort by Jimmy Schumach, if he can hold the signs, who is a retired local transportation official with many years of service. In response to the request from the Eastern Shore and the Mobile MPO chairs, Governor Ivey directed the Alabama Department of Transportation to work with local leaders to identify a project that will, one, reduce traffic congestion on I-10 and across the Bayway, two, leave existing routes toll-free, three, preserve the $125 million federal grant. The Department of Transportation has reviewed a number of locally developed concepts and is considering a phased construction project that will achieve all three goals. On the first board, it begins with the construction of a dedicated four-lane bridge over Mobile River for large trucks only. All large trucks over 46 feet in length would be prohibited from using the Wallace Tunnel. So many of the traffic delays and tie-ups we experience today are because of large truck traffic in the tunnel. Under this plan, big trucks will be prohibited from using the Wallace Tunnel and will instead use the Mobile River Truck Bridge. By taking large trucks out of the Wallace Tunnel, preliminary estimates indicate the new truck-only bridge will decrease average passenger car delays by 60 to 90 minutes during peak times. On board two, in addition to the new truck bridge, the existing bayway will be restriped and converted from two lanes to three lanes in each direction. This will increase traffic flow by an estimated 40% and improve safety by separating cars and trucks into their own separate lanes. Finally, to help with public safety, the signed hazardous truck route will no longer pass through the Africatown community. In other words, hazardous cargo that is currently prohibited from traveling through the tunnels will be signed to use the new Mobile River Truck Bridge. Initial cost estimates for the plan I've described is $725 million. This project does not include a public-private partnership. Rather, it will be paid for by $250 million in state transportation funding, plus the $125 million federal grant secured by Senator Shelby and our congressional delegation, and a fee on large trucks that are 46 feet in length or more. This is appropriate and reasonable, given that the project will create a designated lane for these large trucks, as well as a new bridge for the exclusive use of large trucks. The fee will be less than half of the charge for large trucks considered in previous plans. Studies will need to be completed, but we estimate the fee on these large trucks will be $10 to $15, certainly no more than $15. In business, time is money. The concept being outlined today will help to save money for the trucking companies by enabling their trucks to deliver goods in a more predictable, safe, and efficient manner. There will be no tolls imposed on other vehicles, and all routes that people use today to travel will remain toll-free. Under this phased approach, eventually a second bridge and new bayway will be constructed in the future. The design, timing, and financing of future phases has not been determined at this time and cannot be approved without the support of both the Eastern Shore and Mobile MPOs. As all of us have said here today, no project will move forward without local support. We know citizens will want to know more about this project. We welcome their interest and their questions. Presenting the concept today is just the beginning of the process, which will include studies, reviews, and public comments. Citizens can find more information out about the project as well as sign up for email updates by visiting the project's website at www.mobilerivertruckbridge.com.
All right, there it is. Who knew that that website was available, Dalton? MobileRiverTruckBridge.com. I thought that they got it from GoDaddy or something. There you go. So that is Vince Calametti rolling out the plan here on this truck bridge. Obviously, this is an opening of a lot of questions out there, although I think he did a pretty good job of answering many of the ones that I had had on my mind. Let's go back to, yes, I am a one-trick pony. I'll go back to the money on this. $725 million project. Okay. So $725 million. So $225 million coming from the state, I think. $125 million from the feds. That's that money that was already allocated for the previous project. So I guess, and we'll talk later this week. I know we have Congressman Jerry Carl coming in on Wednesday, and maybe we can talk to him more about it then. But the federal—I guess this project is close enough because, you know, on federal things, like if you get an allocation of money to build a whatever, it's a whatever thing. It's a road and it's a 4-lane road, and then you make it a 5-lane road, you could lose funding because it's different, right? So obviously they've done enough here to protect that money. It's already there. So $225 in state, I think $125 in federal. The rest coming from the tolls on the trucks, $10 to $15 toll on the trucks. Which, you know, if you look at it commercially, if you spread that, probably in the beginning I didn't get the notes in there. I think 46 feet, I think that was, is that correct? I think it's 46 feet. If we got to go back and listen on that, is it 40? If it's 46 feet, because I'm looking at it two ways. Because if you're hauling a big load of whatever widgets out there, and you spread $10 to $15 out over the entirety of the load, it's really not significant. If you have a truck that's doing service calls or things like that,
mm-hmm.
But I don't think you're going to have any, unless I'm missing something. And I'm just off the top of my head, there's no service vehicle for local businesses, it's over 46 feet, I don't think. Hey, guess what? There's going to be a lot of commercial vehicles be built to 45 feet now.
45 and a half foot.
Yes.
I'm not, like for instance, Home Depot and Lowe's.
Okay.
If they're taking deliveries out, would their truck...
Like a box truck? I don't think a box truck.
I don't think a box truck would hit that, 40, right?
So, I don't think it's 40.
So yeah, he said 46 feet and longer. First off, you won't be allowed on the bayway and through the Wallace Tunnel if you reach that
although
limit.
People are saying that there's going to be like a Smokey and the Bandit thing going on here, that there's going to be the big rigs trying to run through the tunnel.
Oh, yeah, I could see that happening.
Eastbound and down. I'm
trying to get away with it. Mm-hmm. So 46 and higher, that would be the only people allowed on the new Mobile River Truck Bridge.
And you have no choice. In other words, they're going to go on the bridge no matter what, and it's for those trucks only.
And he said, I don't know if it was disincentivized or just not allow big trucks on the Cochrane Bridge any longer.
So that's in my notes here. Right now, the hazmat goes over the Cochrane Africatown Bridge, right? So you're coming down. If they're coming down 65, right, they get off on 165, get on and come in, you know, come through Africatown and go up over the bridge for hazmat because it can't go through the tunnel. So now they're not going to be allowed to do it. They're going to keep coming down 65 to 10 because there's going to be another route. All right, we got more of the details on this when we come back, and we'll take your calls at 343-0106. Sounds like they're moving along with this. Traffic reduction, 40%? We'll see.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By the way, what do they call this thing? A program note. Program note on Wednesday, 1 o'clock, on this very program, on this very radio station. AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl, who was at the event today, is going to be joining us. So,
all right.
I got my questions about the federal side of the money here. So many things that we got questions about, and we got lots of text here. Dalton Orwig sitting in studio with me as we kind of try to hash this out. Can we go back to what you and I listened to during the break?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this, y'all, is this is a little part of the presser here, and this during the presser, they got in the discussion of 1, 2, and 3. I think this is the second point,
right?
Or so the third point.
He was like, bullet number one.
Okay,
we're building a bridge for only big trucks.
That's right.
46
phase
feet
construction
and
project.
Over.
Yeah, and dedicated 4-lane bridge, mm-hmm. large trucks only.
Right, large trucks only. And then bullet point two, he talked about expanding, or at least what I thought, expanding the bayway, which is currently, of course, 2 lanes each way. So it's 4 lanes now. And they were saying they were going to build it up to 6 lanes total. But he said, Calametti here says something interesting.
Yeah, so this is, I lost it right at first, but then Dalton pointed this out. So let's go back. We'll grab this. This is
delays and tie-ups we experience today are because of large truck traffic in the tunnel. Under this plan, big trucks will be prohibited from using the Wallace Tunnel,
mm-hmm.
and will instead use the Mobile River Truck Bridge. By taking large trucks out of the Wallace Tunnel, preliminary estimates indicate the new truck-only bridge will decrease average passenger car delays by 60 to 90 minutes during peak times.
Seems.
On board two,
hmm.
in addition to the new truck bridge, the existing bayway will be restriped and converted from 2 lanes to 3 lanes in each direction.
Say what?
Restriped.
Okay.
So,
all right. So this is the one that, yes. Yeah, so don't put, so we go back. So, and I see y'all on the text line are asking about this too. So, got the, first of all, if I understand this correctly, I'm just, this all brand new, dedicated 4-lane bridge for large trucks only.
That's right.
Happening there. Then when they get across the river, I guess we're going to tie back in to the bayway. This is how I understand it. If I'm missing something, Vince Calametti, let me know. So you're tying back into the bayway, and to deal with that traffic, you're not actually building anything on the bayway. You're drawing some new lines.
Taking
it from 2 lanes to 3 lanes. So what happens to the emergency lanes on the side? And can we fit that much sugar in that size sack?
Y'all
are riding the bayway right now. Pay attention. Don't text us or anything, but be thinking when you get stopped somewhere, hopefully not in traffic,
mm-hmm.
to let us know if you're looking there, you think there's room for 3 lanes, and then you got to have an emergency lane. You have something goes on out there, you have to be able to get out to it.
I would guess that if they only restriped to make this 6 lanes instead of 4 lanes, 3 on each side, there would be no room for any shoulder.
It's making me sweat right now.
Yeah, actually. I drove across on Friday, drove towards Baldwin County, drove back towards Mobile County across the Bayway yesterday, and things were backed up on my way westbound yesterday. There would be no, you would have to just stop travel in one of those 3 lanes and make that the emergency.
Right, but once, by the nature of needing to be out there, then everybody's stopped anyway.
Right.
Right? So how do you get, I mean, if they're, and hold on, I'm opening up, I'm going to try to answer a question I had myself, opening up the OnX map app here,
mm-hmm.
where I can measure stuff. Dalton sees me use this all the time. Here, let's measure the width of one of the lanes here. All right. So that's, am I seeing a perfect image? Kind of. All right. So let's line distance, and we're drawing. So I'm looking at, it's a little hazy on here, but let's say it says 13 yards.
Okay.
Okay, so let's say it's probably not. It's probably 12. I've just drawn it a little. So let's say it's 12, right? 12 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So 36 feet wide.
Yeah, with nothing on the edges. Yeah, so that's 36 feet wide.
That's Jersey guardrail to Jersey guardrail. Then you'd be looking at
you'd be looking at a 12-foot long or 12-foot wide lane, in each lane 12 feet wide.
Well, 8 feet is like what the most of the. So if you're, but still you can't. I mean, I don't know how you can do this and eliminate. I know you have shoulder on both sides, but you got to have a serviceable emergency lane. I mean, we've had some real situations mm-hmm. over the years on the Bayway where you have to be able to get out there and help people.
Yeah, and are we would? I mean, you still work? You still have to go through the Wallace Tunnel. So would the Wallace Tunnel still be two lanes? Or would that also be restriped into three?
Oh, see, Dalton,
because then you're talking
is,
bottleneck.
So if you're going from you're chug along going three lanes, right? Here you go. Let's say y'all are heading westbound. You're going three lanes down this new redrawn three lane bayway.
Mm-hmm.
Then you hit the tunnel and go two lanes. Oh my God!
Would that be a problem, or would it be fine yeah, because the big are really trucks good. Are out of the way?
Yeah, see, I don't know. And listen, they've done the research. I haven't done the research, but. I think I've been out there in situations where it's all just the cars causing the problem. You know, talk about people who know how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
People have a CDL. People do that all the time. They could, but people talk about them having to slow down through the tunnel. But I'm thinking out on the Bayway. You're coming along three. Let's say there's not a truck. The trucks are in their own lane. And I guess they pick up. And how do you get the people from the one side over to the bridge going?
Yeah. Where would that split?
Where is that split?
That's the question. Because remember, there were comments from some people that if you could just straighten it out, right? Straighten I-10 out going directly into the tunnel mm-hmm. somehow. We talked about why that would not work or why it would work. But where would this Mobile River Truck Bridge start?
And then, well, it's going like to start. Said, it's going to come off Virginia. In? If we use the same CGI that we – yeah, and Dalton and I are looking here. We got a big – photograph of Mobile in the studios here. Maybe you'll see it in some of her, but see, that doesn't show it. It'd be off your right shoulder, which would be to the southeast, Dalton, of where you're seeing. Off your right shoulder is southeast in that picture here in our studio. So it would go, it'd kick off there, but you still have to ask the question too, like you did. You can't, like Tony says, if they make the tunnel three lanes, there ain't no way I'm going through it. Tony, I'm with you as well. Like, there's not room in the tunnel.
Right.
There's really not room, there is room. Obviously, the engineers have done their job. Just in my opinion, it seems questionable to have three lanes on the Bayway. But when you're in the tunnel, I mean, you've got that little concrete shelf that goes up there, and then you're starting the actual tiles of the.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of room. So
I don't see how you get three lanes in there.
No, it makes sense to me if they were to expand the Bayway by building onto it. I just by restriping, that seems like
wow, that's going to be interesting.
Seems difficult, yeah.
By the way, too, and we got so many texts, we won't be able to get to these before we wrap. But Bobby says, can't we? Bobby's asking the question a lot of people have: can't we route big trucks now to the Africatown Bridge? The point is, we have run hazmat over the Africatown Bridge, but they still have to get across the bay. The Africatown Bridge, you know, is going to get them to the causeway,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want to run the causeway. They want to bring them in 65 to 10. So, and that's what they said. They're going to not route hazmat over the Africatown Bridge. They're going to let hazmat roll like 65, 10, you know, and come in that way and then take this bridge over the river there. So that's how they're going to, because they want to keep them on, they want to keep them up on 10 and not have them down. You put them on the causeway, it's a big problem mm-hmm. as well. And you get there right in front of the, not saying they're using the bankhead, I'm not saying the trucks are using it, but when they're coming down Pinto Island, is that Pinto Island? It's still Pinto Island right there. They're coming down there, and then you got the traffic coming out of the bankhead, merged with the people that are coming off of 10 to get on Pinto Island. Oh, my God. But all those things are child's play compared to the sweats I'm getting thinking about three lanes where there were two before. Now, time to fasten your seatbelts and do one of those 5-point racing harnesses before you get started out there. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Listen to Dan and Dalton. I'm sure this will be talked about tomorrow morning.
Oh, you know it.